Hi, I'm Dave Schrader. Along with me tonight, Philip Smith, Walking Through Walls, a memoir. That's the book we're discussing. We'll be taking your phone calls, but you can also email me like Pamela has done. Walking Through Walls, where did you get the title from the book?
Story right in the beginning of the book. I was 14 years old at the time, and my parents had separated because, you know, this had become really very stressful living with just people coming in all hours of day and night and needing healing. And so there was a guest house on the property, so my father moved next door. And one night I came home to see my father, and I was banging on the door. I'd come home from a party, and all of a sudden there was no answer. And then this guy answers the door. He looked a little bit like Lurch, this tall sort of grayish guy, and he opens the door very slowly, and he says, "Your father can't be disturbed right now. He's in communication with the seventh plane." And and then he goes to close the door on me, and he turns around and he said, "Haven't you learned to walk through walls yet? You're your father's son." So I was surrounded by these expectations as a kid that I needed to be more on board with supernatural events and paranormal events and have tremendous healing abilities. So that's where the title came from.
Your father displayed all types of abilities. What was to you the most fascinating thing that you ever witnessed or heard about?
I think his work with the pendulum was extraordinary, because the pendulum comes from radiesthesia, which is basically the science of energy. And as physics tells us, we live in this world of energy. And our bodies, these magnetic electrical entities, are remarkable. I mean, we have these bodies, and let's say we have dinner, we have chicken and vegetables for dinner. Well, that chicken and the salad turns into our brain waves and our heartbeat and allows our eyes to see. And my father saw this world as miraculous, as human beings, as miraculous beings and entities, and that the idea of disease was basically almost a mental construct as opposed to a reality. And so when he used the pendulum, he devised these charts, and he could just, he called them finder charts, and he would hold the pendulum in one hand and a straightened paper clip in the other, and he would just run down this chart. If let's say a woman was sitting there, came over and said, you know, my sister has cancer, but they don't know what it is, and she's very sick. He would go through this chart, and he would be able to then locate the tumor, and he would tell her where it was, how big it was, how long it had been there, what had caused it, and then what he's going to do to remove it and to stop the cancer. The interesting thing he would do, and it was this sort of, sometimes he would do this instantaneous psychoanalysis. Let's say a woman came to him and she had breast cancer. And because he always felt you had to get at the cause of things. I mean, medicine today is basically treats symptoms. We give drugs to dull the symptoms, to hide the symptoms, but we don't always get at the cause of things. Or we'll cut out a tumor and then the cancer comes back, or we'll do radiation and the cancer comes back. So we haven't gotten at the cause. We've just removed the immediate visible aspect of it. So he would take this pendulum and ask questions and want to know where this cancer came from. And I remember one case, he said to this woman, does May 10th, you know, 1957 mean anything to you, because I'm getting that date? And the woman would say, you know, that was the date that my father sexually molested me as a kid. And he says, well, this is the source of your cancer, and we need to remove this memory and clean it out, and then we're going to get, then we can treat your cancer, but we need to get rid of this idea. Now, this woman, you know, might have been in therapy for 30 years before this incident came up, or before she could talk about it. And my father was able to find it within, you know, 3-4 minutes. So it was the pendulum work that was really remarkable. And he, not only to heal people, but if he went in the supermarket, he would take out the pendulum and start dowsing the cantaloupes or the zucchini to find out which one had the less pesticides or which one had the most nutrients in it, and he would buy those. He made all his decisions based on the pendulum.
Or did he ever fail in trying to help cure someone?
Yes, and there are times. Listen, doctors, you look at antidepressants, and they have about a 50% success rate. And he was not perfect, and a lot of times the explanation was that this person's karma or this person's destiny was to go through this illness. I mean, and he would always ask before he would heal somebody if he had permission to heal this person, because there were times that he felt that he could not interfere with a person's own destiny. And there were times that he would be able to heal the person, and then they may... and he would know that they're going to die in 2 weeks. And I said, well, why can't you help them further? If you've already stopped the disease and you've resuscitated them, why do they have to leave in 2 weeks? He said, that's their destiny. I do what I'm allowed to do. I can't go further. So generally, he had a really, really high success record. And I know that because every person he healed, he asked them to write him a letter. And I have these thousands and thousands of letters that detail where, you know, a woman took her baby to the emergency room because the baby was deaf and couldn't hear and they couldn't do anything. And she brought the baby to my father and then went back to the hospital. All of a sudden, the baby could hear again. So there are thousands of these letters documenting these healings. And my feeling is, even if he was able to heal one person in his entire lifetime of cancer, where they could not be healed by the medical profession, he did a remarkable thing. But he did this every day of the week.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, your emails, questions, and we'll learn more from Philip right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. Walking Through Walls, a memoir. Philip Smith, our guest. Philip, talk to me too about your father and these abilities to communicate with the dead. When did he start to have that happen? Was that when he was doing the yoga and meditation and opening up to this, or you know, which came first, the healing or the communication?
I think the healing came first, and you know what healing is this transfer of energy, and you're reading someone else's energy, you're altering it, you're optimizing it, and you're sending new energy. And I think the real communication came when Arthur Ford died and started blinking the lights. And Arthur was the first and the conduit. And then Arthur would bring his buddies along from the other side and to help my father. And it was kind of like a correspondence school with dead people, that whenever my father needed information, these guys would sort of show up for healings or show up to guide him through things and help him with whatever he needed. And, you know, in a way, what's interesting in our day and age, because you keep saying that this is a different time, and what's really interesting, what's happening now, is through technology, this idea of dematerialization. I mean, we're suddenly without physical books. We're without having big reels of film to watch movies. We can turn on our sprinklers from our iPhone while we're in Japan. So this idea of a more digital or ethereal existence, I think, is matching or mirroring the idea that we can now heal people and their bodies are more energetic. This is something really new that people didn't really experience or accept 20 years ago. But I think this digital technology is sort of leading us down the path, and we're looking at our own lives and at other people and saying, hey, you know, we're kind of digital energetic beings too. And so if I can click on my iPhone and turn on my sprinklers, why can't I change my mental illness or my heart condition through energy? And I think a door has been opened and we're entering a new world now.
Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Sid in Abilene, Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well, Sid. What did you want to ask?
I don't ask you, but yes, if his father ever healed someone who had mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar.
Yes, actually, a lot of people, and one of the things at the time was in the 60s, kids were starting to use LSD, and as a result, they would, some people had great trips, and other people would end up in mental institutions. And I remember going with him to both prisons and mental institutions with people that had mental illness and working with them. Sometimes the mental illness he would diagnose as possession. That when our auras or our defense systems are weak, we can have negative entities, discarnate entities that basically they were murdered or committed suicide, and they haven't moved on because they think they're still alive and they need a host body. So they jump into these people who maybe have the beginnings of mental illness, taking drugs, or an alcohol problem, and they start taking them over, and that's where some of their mental illness. I mean, we hear these stories of next door neighbors going on these rampages and killing people, and they were the nicest people, loving father, loving mother, whatever. And so some of it was possession, but a lot of it was past lives coming forward, and my father was able to diagnose that, correct it, and remove it. So yes, he did treat people with mental illness.
All right. Thank you very much for listening and calling in, Sid. Did you have a follow-up to that? All right. Let's go wild card line 3, Lynn in Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Philip. I want to say thank you so very much. Everything you said about your dad is right on. He was a miraculous man, and he was gifted. And he didn't make it because there are so many forces out there that don't want cures. They'd rather have a sick than healthy. Believe me, but what you're saying, the next jump, it's coming, whether they like it or not. It's a strong force, and I'm praying for your safety, because what you're doing is miraculous, and people out there, listen to this guy. It's incredible what you said, and I'm so happy to hear what you all have to say. And I noticed the picture there, you and your father. You're at in Florida. You're at Coral Castle with the big door there?
Yes, yes.
Is that you with your dad?
Yes, correct.
Right. What did your dad think of Leonard, Edward Leitzkillin, like where he was from and where did he get all his, was he sort of a hidden entity himself? And you're right about speaking with the other side, the people that have passed on. We are, God is a loving God, and he does allow in circumstances to help us out. And I just want to say I'm grateful that you're there, and I'll listen to the answer off the air about Coral Castle.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have chills because thank you for the kind words. And yes, everything, it's funny. I was sitting next to someone at lunch a few months ago, the woman said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm an artist, but I also write this book. What was your book on?" And I was telling her about my father. And this is today. This was several months ago. And this woman said to me, "Don't people think you're crazy when you talk like that?" And I said, she said, "Do you actually believe this?" I said, "No, I don't believe this at all. It's a fact. This is the reality of our lives, that we are energetic beings, and we can transform ourselves. We can heal people, that life continues after death. Those are facts. Those are not belief systems. And this is how I lead my life. And so thank you for confirming that. In terms of Coral Castle, Coral Castle is a place in Miami that's been there, I think, from the 20s. And there was a very a little guy. I mean, this guy was maybe 4-something in stature. And he fell in love with this young girl, and he created a castle with the chairs and the doors out of coral rock, which weighs tons and tons and tons. And this guy was able to somehow with like a little handmade chisel not only carve these things out of the earth, but actually raise them and make these doors that weighed several tons and that you touch it with your fingertip and it swivels open. Or he made huge rocking chairs out of this heavy rock. And I live in a new house now that's Encore rock. And just to plant a tree, you have to rent or buy a chipping hammer and a jackhammer and drill into the earth so that you can actually plant a tree. That's how hard that coral rock is. So this was pretty miraculous what this guy did. And we would visit Coral Castle, and it's a great sort of oddity in Miami to see, and that this guy was able to build it. And obviously he had some sort of abilities, because just with a few ropes and a chisel, you simply can't lift this amount of tonnage and create these sculptures and these houses out of coral rock that he did.
What do you think of past lives? If I died of cancer two lives ago, can I still carry that memory with me, and that I'm not really suffering from cancer in this lifetime, in the sense that, you know, I've got it, but it's actually more of like a residue that I brought with me from the past?
Yes. You can access that memory, but it's also you can change that history. I mean, it's very fluid, and the fact that you did have cancer, and you know, many people, you read about these people with cancer, and they say it was the best thing that ever happened to them because it was life changing, and they changed their life as a result. They changed their thinking, and so if there is that residue, you can go in through what my father would call, and many people call, the Akashic Records, and revisit that and clean it out. And what my father would call, you've got to remove the memory of the memory. And sometimes it's like a traumatic event, which happened when we were kids or happened 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, every time we pass a red door, it reminds us of, you know, someone hit us over the head 30 years ago, and we still have that memory. But no one's hitting us over the head anymore in front of that red door, but that memory is still active. And what my father would do was remove that memory of the memory. So, yes, you can remove the residue of these past lives. And one of the things my father would use also are the Bach flower remedies, which now you can buy at Whole Foods, but again, it was something that he had to illegally import from Europe. And Dr. Bach was a surgeon, an English surgeon, and he felt cutting up people was the wrong way to go. So he would go into the fields and talk to these flowers. And I think, you know, this is how the Chinese created great pharmacopoeias of medicine. They were able to actually talk to the plants and find out what these plants do. And he then would distill these flowers homeopathically, and instead of treating physical ailments, they would treat mental ailments. And going back to the caller about mental disease, the Bach flower remedies work on emotions, because so much of our thinking governs the health of our body. So my father would use the energy of the Bach flower remedies, not the physical remedy, but to change our thinking and our emotions, to clean them up. And he had charts where he would measure the vibration of emotion. So he would measure the vibration of fear versus the vibration of peace. And if he diagnosed someone with a pendulum, and he would find out that they're very fearful of snakes, let's say, and that this was causing a big problem in their life, he would find the antidote through the Bach flower remedies and send them that psychically. And then he would raise their vibrations from the fear level to the peaceful level. So all of this is very fluid, and just like you adjust the dials on the volume dials on a radio or on your iPhone when you're listening to something, we can adjust the health.
We have to take a break here. We're pressing it. We'll be back. We've got more on Coast to Coast AM. It's always a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you all for being here with me. And remember to catch up with me at darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. Philip, let's take a couple more phone calls here. We've got Wildcard Line 1, Carlos in San Francisco, California.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. My question has pretty much already been answered, so I'm going to, you know, change it a little bit. My original question was, is this type of remote healing strictly, you know, physiological versus psychological? And the first caller really prompted some answers from your guest, and then your guest elaborated on and some other examples of some healing. So, but I guess, so to expand on the question about emotional healing that his father was capable of doing, I was kind of like in the area of, say, trauma and closure versus something more organic, like, you know, schizophrenia or bipolar, where maybe there's a real broken relationship or something happened or there was a death and, you know, some closure needs to happen for the subject. And so there's some emotional scarring, if you will. And if, you know, that kind of, you know, trauma could be remedied remotely. And the other part of my question that was prompted from listening to his answers to the other guests is, when you have a subject that's undergoing or submitting to this type of healing, say, conducted by his father, if there was prayer involved by other parties on behalf of the subject, does that prayer activity influence, why does it somehow negate it or undermine it, or does it facilitate it? Because it almost seems like I'm looking at it as two different forces, and I don't know if these forces are compatible or not. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. All right, thank you for listening.
Yeah, very thank interesting you. Questions. Just going back to what I had just talked about with trauma, and my father talking about removing the memory of the memory. Yes, trauma can be healed and does have to be healed because it is an open wound, and it can cause huge alterations in how we run our lives. It can cause physical ailments, and, you know, ailments. Gosh, I wish we had more time. But, you know, my father, one of the things he wants doctors to understand is our physical bodies are not just physical bodies. There are magnetic bodies outside our bodies. And, for example, there's the astral body, which travels through the etheric body. And he believes that the problem with doctors and their machines and the physical world we live in is they don't know about the etheric body, and they can't see and work with the etheric body. But illness starts in the etheric body, which is in our thought patterns, and then eventually sort of filters down to the physical body. So your concern about trauma is very, very important, because trauma can lead to physical and mental ailments. But they can be cleared, they can be cured. And I think it's important to not put my father on a pedestal, because he would say, what I can do, you can do. And the analogy I use is we can all swim. We can all learn to swim. We may not be Michael Phelps and get Olympic medals, but we can all learn more about our energetic bodies, and we can all take control of our energies. There are energies, and we they're ours, and we own them, and we should be able to work with them and just make the decision to take control of them. I think that's very, very important message for people to know. Prayer always helps. Prayer is energy that's being sent, and just like there's different frequencies, that sometimes there's radio shows that are very powerfully beamed, and sometimes there are phone signals that are weak. Prayer comes in different frequencies, and prayer would never interfere with one's healing. The more the merrier, the better positive energy. And prayer is very, very important, not only for others, but for ourselves. And in at night before I go to bed, I check my body, and I you can call it prayer, but I ask that my cells be revitalized, that any invading agents be removed, sent to the sun for purification. And if more people are praying for me, all the better. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Great answer. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back with more of your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Let's go wild card line to Elaine, Fort Myers, Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hi. When you were talking about the breast cancer and the whole scenario of that person, it sounded exactly like me. And that's what prompted me to call in. I have breast cancer. I'm trying to treat it and everything. And I think there is probably a reason behind it. I've gone through a lot of different traumas, like, how can I find out why I have it so I can, I better treat this and understand it?
I think that's a great question, and I'm glad you're asking it, because you can find the answer. You have to ask for the answer. You have to ask for guidance. And the most important thing is you have to be receptive and willing to receive it. And again, we all have these abilities, but we negate them and we dismiss them, that, oh, well, this person has this ability, I can't have it. And I want you to really ask for guidance on your cancer. And I think it's very important to look into your heart, and as well as ask for outside help as to why this cancer arrived. Because, you know, our bodies are born perfect in a way. They're miraculous machines. There's no machine on the face of the earth. I don't care your iPhone or the fastest computer in the world. They can't even begin to compete with all the things that our bodies do. You know, people go to the movies and they flip out because, oh, my God, I went to see this 3D movie. We see 3D every minute of the day, but we don't appreciate our own abilities to have that. And I think that there are many ways to beat cancer. Cancer is an alteration in your DNA and an alteration in your body, and you have to find a way to fix that, both through the medical doctor and through, there's other alternatives out there. I want to encourage you to energize your body and to remove the cancer cells at night, and to visualize both morning and night when you wake up and before you go to bed, and live in a state of grace, and that will make a difference to your condition.
Thank you very much for listening and giving us a call, and we wish you well through that journey. All right, let's go to wild card line 4, Jeannie in Austin, Texas.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for this conversation. It's exactly true. I'm actually calling like the last caller. I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer last year during South by. I'm a musician here in Austin, Texas. And everything you said about, you know, the traumas and all that, I mean, I just wish the medical industry was more open to listening to that. And maybe, you know, I mean, I've had all the, you know, so many experiences as a child and even, you know, adult, teenager, and even now. And I don't think they don't want to believe that, you know, because basically I've been a vegetarian for 14 years. I've been biking and busing all over Austin for 5, and physically, you know, everyone in my family was like, wow, she's the most healthiest person. She ended up with, you know, stage 3 breast cancer. But I did come back positive for 2 BRCA mutations, mm-hmm. and both of my sisters did also. I just found this out this past week that they're positive also. So I guess my question would be, do you think there's a way to break a genetic health pattern like that? Like, I mean, I know that I music's my sanity, so like I'm continuing to do that. I actually performed at the Texas Veg Fest a couple of weeks ago in 48 degree weather, by the way. It was ridiculously cold here in Austin that day, but you know, I'm continuing to do that, and it's true when you said earlier that I don't feel like the cancer is the best thing in the world that ever happened to me. It's actually a nightmare. But
yeah.
the thing is, you do get to make amends, you know? Like, I had not spoken to my father in 17 years. He raped me when I was 11 years old. And I actually forgave him. But the deal was, my family was very closed-minded and didn't want to open up to counseling. And I remember 17 years ago, I told him, I love you guys, but I'm tired of keeping all these secrets. He also molested my other 2 sisters. And anyway, long story short, I probably should write a book about my life. But anyway, long story short.
Well, real quick, if I could ask you, Jeannie, all 3 of your sisters have been diagnosed with the same genetic hereditary issue?
Yes. And
all 3 of you were molested. Maybe that well, not even maybe, it sounds like that's the anchor point that ties all three of you together. And if you're exchanging, you know, they talk about soul cords and the fact that we can be attached to people, especially through traumatic and through loving connections. And sometimes you have to go in to get these cords cut. And maybe if you went in and had the kind of soul retrieval and your cords cut, you know, cutting from you, your father, your sisters, and just kind of allowing those connections to die, not the love for your sisters, but those soul connections, just cut those and give yourselves each a chance to thrive instead of you each kind of passing the cancer through the energetic cycles that you've got. That might be an aspect to this in the holistic healing cycle.
I think that's really good advice, and it's very hard not to become a victim to someone else's you know, problems, and it eats us, especially good people, and we let these people live inside of us mentally, and I think Dave's advice to you is absolutely correct, that there, and even though you've forgiven, there is that trauma, there is that memory of the memory there, and it's very hard to clean it out, but that's got to be your goal. And, you know, it's Mike, I studied karate for 25 years, and in the dojo, my teacher would say to me, we're all responsible for our own technique, and as I said earlier, we all own our own energy, and you do have these ties with your family and with your sister and your father, and part of it is, and it's very difficult to move forward and know that you're unique and you're your own entity and your own being. And yes, he's impacted you and he's afflicted you, but it's, you need to move beyond that and let him go, and let him go in grace and let him have his own path. It's very difficult what you're going through. But I think Dave's advice is absolutely correct.
You know, there was a really interesting, silly show that was on for a while called The Surreal Life, where they would take these kind of B-level celebrities and force them to live together for, you know, a month or something. And they would always have these strange connections, like Ron Jeremy, the porn star, living with Tammy Faye Baker and these other celebrities. And they talked about how her life and her husband Jim Baker's lives and careers kind of collapsed for a while. And how could she be so loving and forgiving? And she talked about in the Bible that the punishment was when you would do bad things, they would lash to you this person that you hurt, so that you kind of carried them on forever. And it wasn't your own stuff that killed you. It was their decay that would eat through your soul and kill you in the end. And you had to learn to cut that and cut those binds and keep that separate from who you are, so that that cancer doesn't infect you as well. And I'm paraphrasing, but if you go on YouTube and look up Tammy Faye Surreal Life, I'm sure the little video vignette is up there, but it's a very powerful statement to the way that we can handle the issues that we get. And you can allow the weight of that person's burden to destroy you, or you can elect to cut the bonds, which is not easy. I understand that. I'm not trying to dismiss it or make what you've been through slight in any way, but it's how, you know, you are not the definition of what occurred to you. It your definition and what you'll be defined by is how you stand back up and what do you do going forward. So we wish you all the luck in the world with this and hope that you can find healing in whatever aspect that you move forward on. So thank you for listening and giving us a call tonight. Hey, make sure you get a chance to see George Norrie. He's going to be in Las Vegas this June. So if you're like me in Minnesota, you're tired of the cold, you're waiting for spring, which isn't springing, and you want to find something cool to do, check out Saturday, June 9th, 2018, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Silverton Casino Hotel in Las Vegas. He's got ufologist, classified document, and Area 51 expert John Greenwald, investigative journalist, news anchor, and talk radio host George Knapp, the man who died twice by hit by lightning, and he's lived to talk about it, Daniel Brinkley, and a special guest appearance by 13-year-old Adam Garcia, the healing powers of the crystal grid. They'll be singing, live bands, Q&As with the guests. You get a meet and greet to follow the show. Don't miss out. Tickets are going to go fast. You can get tickets and information at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. We've got time for one or two quick phone calls here. Let's go to first-time caller Mark in Michigan.
Good morning. all my questions have been answered. I'm a stonemason myself, and I balance stones in my backyard all the time. There's something magical about them. We have this stone up here. It's called a Petoskey stone, and it's a wisdom. I guess the Indians use it like a wisdom stone. My question is, do you have your father's pendulum?
Yes.
And is it a crystal or on a gold a chain? What is it? What is it constructed of?
Yeah, it's I would say it's about a 3-inch gold chain, and there's like it's not a rock crystal. It's a bead. It's like an iridescent bead. He used to make these and give them to people because he would want to teach people to use the pendulum as a tool for everything. Because the point is, so many times our thinking is clouded and we can't make clear decisions, or we make very poor decisions and we're not thinking sort of objectively or on a bigger scale. And the pendulum would allow him and others to access newer information or purer information. So yes, I do have it. But anybody can make a pendulum. You can use a piece of string and get a little washer from the hardware store and tie it around it. You can use a set of keys. You can use anything, and it's easy to learn to use a pendulum. And I wish everybody would learn to use it. And in fact, I'm working on a book of my father's methods to teach people these things, because it's a great tool.
Great.
And we face so many indecisions in our life, and the pendulum can help you clarify things.
Thank you very much for listening. Yeah, thank you, Mark. Yeah, when is that book going to be out, Philip? We got to get that going.
All right, I agree with you. When I get off tonight, I'll get on the next chapter.
You better. You gotta knock this out. What do you hope? We've only got a minute left, but what do you really hope that people get from this book and your experiences and your father's experience?
I want them to enjoy the book. It's actually a very fun book to read. But more importantly, I really want them to understand that we're not limited, that we're miraculous beings, we're energetic beings, and the world is absolutely miraculous. And if they can understand that, not get bogged down in the junk from the news and the junk from daily life and worrying about the guy who cut you off in the car, and just really the miracle of being alive and helping others and helping yourself and living a cleaner life, a more conscious life. That's where, because you know what, each person who changes their mind and lives at a higher vibration, it affects all of us. And it's the work we have to do, not only for ourselves, but for everybody else.
Walking Through Walls, a memoir. Philip Smith, our guest. Philip, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
I want to thank everybody back at the home office as well, Donna and Nathan, for holding things down, answering the phones, getting us all these great calls. My engineer and co-host here in the studio, Tim Dennis. My producer, Chris Boros, for helping us book these amazing guests. Lisa Lyon and, of course, George Norrie. Then I want to thank our guests, Philip Smith, Roz Morris, and Richard Gross. I'll be back again with you in May and in June, and hopefully you'll be here with me. Until then, be kind, love one another, and do something special with your life. We don't have a lot of time in this big cosmic scope of things, so make the best of it you possibly can. Take care, and make sure to check out darknessradio.com. You've been listening to the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.